and other basic hygiene supplies. Elsewhere in the strip, the Palestinian Red Crescent claims to have received an evacuation warning asking them to leave the Al-Quds hospital. Two people have been arrested after a woman was seriously injured in a suspected dog attack in North Tyneside. Northumbria police officers were called to an address in the Sydney Grove area of Wallsend around 11 last night. The makers of Friends say they're devastated to learn of Matthew Perry's death. Warner Brothers have described the actor who played Chandler Bing in the sitcom as a true gift. The 54-year-old appears to have drowned in the jacuzzi at his home in LA. Film critic Scott Bryan says people will be stunned by the news.
We become familiar with somebody because we watch them on TV the entire time and because they provide a sense of joy. So, of course, when we hear about the sad news of their death, it feels as if you know them, even though you may have never met them.
Yellow weather warnings for heavy rain and strong winds are in force every day until Thursday as a new storm approaches. Storm Kieran is set to bring strong winds. The Met Office says some along the south coast may reach 80 miles an hour. In sports, Liverpool showed their support to the absent Luis Diaz during their 3-0 Premier League win over Nottingham Forest. The winger missed the match after reports his parents had been kidnapped in his home country of Colombia. Diogo Jota held up a Diaz shirt after scoring the opening goal at Anfield. Boss Jurgen Klopp admits it's been a difficult 24 hours for his squad.
I don't want to make the game bigger than it was, but it was definitely, we tried to help Lucho with the fight we put in, because obviously we want to help, we cannot really help, so the only thing we can do is fight for him, and that's what the boys did.
Manchester City eased to a 3-0 win over Manchester United in the derby at Old Trafford. Rangers scored two late goals as they beat Hearts 2-1 in the Scottish Premiership. That's the latest. I'm Kevin Gover.
Only one person got through. DJ Nigel. It's time to face the music.
The best soul, funk and disco on a Sunday night in Essex.
From a studio somewhere far, far away, you find the best soul, funk, and boogie. Here is the man himself, Nigel Fitzmaurice.
Nigel on Phoenix FM.
Very good Sunday evening to you. Many, many thanks, of course, to the lovely Claire for the art show this week. Fantastic. Good music as well. Before that, of course, Vicky Michelle. Hello. Some of my friends and some of our friends who are the guests in the studio tonight were actually with Vicky last night. Yeah. Yeah, they were. And, of course, before that, Tony Smith and the rest of the gang on a Sunday. But right now, we are talking Those Were the Craze, 90 Years in Places. That's coming up for you very soon with David Last and a little bit of a help from Donna as well. Yeah, why not?
If you're thinking you're too cool to hold it.
Phoenix FM.
Get on up on the floor, 'cause we're gonna boogie again.
You know, see, back in the day, that would have been a disco classic. So that would have been done for the old people, only 3 minutes long. See what I mean? It was a 12-inch, that would have been... What's a 12-inch? Yeah, right, OK. 12-inch, right? 12-inch is singles, right? OK, they were bigger records, you know, like... yeah, so, no, I'm not betting... No, pack it, no, listen, 12-inch, 7-inch, 12-inch, and then we went on to CDs after that. But it was... Sorry, I'm explaining myself. It's 6 minutes past six, and I'm having to explain myself already. So back in the day, you had 12-inch singles and 7-inch singles, and that would have been the extended versions, see? And even that sounds wrong, doesn't it? I'm going to play a record. So I'm digging myself a great big hole here. This is the Blow Monkeys right now, because we're digging your scene, yeah.
Message, baby. So sad to see you fade away.
The world is a screaming, and you're ready to leave me revenge.
He'll get you in the end. It's God's revenge. Oh, I know I should come clean, but I prefer to deceive. Tell me why.
Isn't that fantastic? There's the Blow Monkeys and Digging Your Scene. Digging myself out of a hole so early on in the show. It's not normal. It is not. We've got music coming up later on from the Spinners, Frankie Valli, Diana Ross. The Drifters coming up in a minute. And that, actually, was one of the songs when I did an interview with Dave Courtney back in January. It was one of the songs he actually asked me to play. I'm going to play it now anyway. And then we've got a bit of John Legend, a bit of Robbie Neville coming up, and Paul Anka. That is the earworms. All those people that are listening tonight, hello to Sammy as well. Hello, Lady Sammy. How are you? nice lady. Yeah, and so, yeah, hello to you all. And I know that Kirsty and Linda Calvi are listening in, and I will do your bit for you a bit later on. All right. We've got a bit of Ashley in there as well, if I feel like it. So that's all on my list. Right, so this one was a record that Dave asked me. He does like all this sort of, what can you call it, really, really hardcore music in the dance world. But he did ask me to play this one as well. This one. It's the Drifters and Like Sister, Like Brother. I didn't know what the meaning of it was, but he actually asked me to play it for him. That was back in January.
It's such a small town girl. News travels faster than a sigh. Everybody wants to know about the next man's secret. So every time we meet upon the street, we've got to keep it. Sometimes it's hard to hide pent-up emotions we both feel. I wanna tell the world I love you, but I dare not say it. Until they let you go, there's only one way we can play it.
We can play it.
My sister.
Fantastic. There we are. That's Lionel Richie. No, it wasn't. It was the Drifters. Lionel Richie's on my page. Yes, it is. and, of course, it was Like Sister, Like Brother. And that was one of the records that Dave asked me to play back in January. So I don't know what the meaning to that was, but it was very, very good. Now, we will be talking in a few minutes' time, probably about 5 or 6 minutes' time, maybe slightly longer, to David Last. Now, David has written a book, which is a more of a pictorial book as well, It's called Those Were the Craze, 90 Years in Places. Now, location is everything. And when speaking of the Cray twins and their family, there are renowned historic stomping grounds. We'll be talking about those. David is a respected and highly thought of historian on the Cray's era. His research spans over a decade. I was talking to him about this earlier on, about 15 years on this book. Amazing. And including an extensive collection of memorabilia, David has met and befriended many of the old-time gangsters. Yes, he has. And villains who willingly shared their stories with him. Yep, and that's great. We'll be dealing with that as well very soon. And if you've... Just listen very carefully, because if you want to go to some of the places that are mentioned here, like Palici's and places like that, in the book, underneath the photographs is the address, where they are, the postcode, and if there's a tube station nearby so you don't get parking tickets. Hey, Davey, we'll do that in a minute. So we'll do that in a minute as well. And so, yeah, it's in the book. This is a pictorial and information. It is not about, you know, talking about the craze as a story. All right, this is more information and a lot of knowledge as well. All right, so that's what we're going to be talking about. Talking to David in a minute, probably about 4 minutes' time, and this is all about David.
FM.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
98 FM. Here's Nigel.
Yes, indeed, flying high. David Lars, top man. In the studio with me, and Donna's with him as well. Now, just as a historical moment, before we play one more record, then we start having the chats, and then we'll have a break, and then we'll record, and then just to make it nice and easy for you all. Just as an aside, October 2023 would have been Ron and Bridget's 90th year. And this book is to commemorate their lives, the good and the bad, of course. So there we are. So the book is actually called Those Were the Craigs, and it's 90 years in places. Mary Hopkins had something to say about that. Those were the days. out. Way back in time that was. I can't even possibly tell you when that was, but that's got to be in the 50s, surely. Right, now then, let's... I'll explain something to you. David has never been on the radio before. Podcast or anything like that, David?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is David Last. He is the man behind this fantastic book, Those Were the Crazies, 90 Years in Places. And I'm going to read the acknowledgement because this book is absolutely fantastic. And also to your mum as well. Yeah?
Thank you, Nigel.
Yeah, much because you did it, as you said.
I did.
So that's really nice. But my biggest and most important thank you goes to my beautiful girlfriend, Donna, who's here tonight with us. Good evening.
Good evening.
There we are. And Donna, for her endless support, encouragement and expertise in helping me bring to dream and the fruition. Donna used to help with all of the stuff to do with the computers. Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Pushing all the buttons, yeah. So, and correcting mistakes that you might have made. That's cool. That's what. So anyway, so this book is all about what David's come to across. He's also thanks, his dad Terry and stepmum Jane for their constant encouragement. Yeah, and also with your daughter Phoebe as well.
Yes, definitely.
And so was Phoebe a great help, support, or
she's certainly encouragement. Yeah, she's always encouraged me and. Yeah, shown an interest.
Yeah, how old's Phoebe?
She's 14 now.
14, fantastic. Yeah. And is she proud of you?
I think so, in her own way, as a 14-year-old
teenager
is.
Great, isn't it? Yeah. So your dad, Terry, and your stepmum, Jane, for their constant encouragement. Interest, of course, and support, which is all you need, isn't it, really?
Yeah, yeah. Especially my stepmum, Jane, she... I think she possibly done a law degree or some sort of project on criminality.
Yeah.
So she's always been interested in it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and then obviously Steve Rafe. Now, fortunately, I've been messaging him on Facebook previously, but I actually met him a few weeks, as you know, and lovely guy.
Steve's a fantastic guy.
So he's been really, really supportive to you as well. That's all to do with true crime, criminality, and also some of the other sites as well that are on there.
Yeah. So I've been running three or four true crime groups for Steve and alongside Steve for some years now, and we've become good friends.
Yeah,
it's our northeast connection, as we like to say.
Because there's huge stories up that way, Newcastle and everywhere else. So anyway, and then Freddie Foreman.
Yes, love Fred.
Now, you would have heard me mention him on here loads of times on Phoenix FM, and also Gary Driscoll's record as well.
Yeah
Brown Bread Fred, fantastic. So now, Freddie was the main man. He was, some people call him the governor, some people have called him all sorts of other names, but legend and all sorts, but he was one of the figures, wasn't he?
Yeah, I often get asked what I think about different criminals from that era, and I know we were speaking before we come on air, and the more I learn about certainly the Cray twins as villains, I become less impressed the more I learn. But to me, Fred was, if you'd like the word, he was the godfather in my eyes, as far as British criminals are concerned, definitely.
What gave you that sort of... I suppose in a way it's like an inkling or... that you knew this was all genuine, and
I guess I don't know it's all genuine. I wasn't there, but and to talk to Fred was like talking to my granddad. You know, he's much older than me. But I've no reason to think any of the stories are lies. I mean, he's certainly spent a lot of time in prison for the things that he was. Charged for, but he'd done the crimes, whereas...
So he admitted them?
He admitted that certain crimes,
yeah.
And he was so capable, you know, in every part of villainy, whereas the Cray twins, they've got other people to do their dirty work a lot of the time.
Yeah.
You know, the Cray twins kind of made a mess and got other people to clear up after them.
Yep, definitely.
So, as villains, yeah, definitely Fred was far more capable than...
And it, yeah, now in the scheme of things, on the villainy side, there was a lot of charitable side, obviously, with the Crays and also all of them. You can't, you know, they were looking after their people.
Yeah, I mean, in my own personal collection, I've actually got letters from mayors, like mayor of, I think it's Bethnal Green, maybe, different, all these different organisations thanking Reg and thanking Ron for money that they'd sent, you know, back in late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah.
I've got the original letter sent to Reg with thanks for his donation to the Aberfand disaster.
Yeah.
And back then, Reg was one of the highest, you know, the biggest donation given.
Yeah.
At that time,
he orphanages and that abroad he was doing as well.
Yes.
So yeah, no, still, but that's not it. But was it? They were what they were. Now, with regards to you know, this book must have taken, and I know we discussed this earlier, but 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't start off as research for a book. It was more just an interest. I like many people, I watched the Kemp Brothers Cray film.
Yeah.
In the 90s, I was at secondary school at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Loved the film, you know, young lad growing up, you want to be a gangster, you know, you see all the glitz and the glamour of it, the cars, the women, the guns and all that.
Mm.
And that kind of stayed with me, really. I've never condoned the violence of the true stories.
No.
You know, I'd have to be mad to condone that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Their crimes were senseless, really, when you look back.
Mm.
But yeah, and then sort of time went on, and then somewhere, probably in my late 20s, early 30s, I started getting interest for it again, started watching the documentaries. I was buying a few sort of signed books and signed photographs.
Mm.
And then I saw advertised a gangster tour with Mad Frankie Fraser, and I thought, oh, I wonder if they're still going. I knew Frank was, you know, he was getting very old, you know, so I sort of and ahing whether the tour might still be available. So I went on the website, saw the phone number, I thought, ah, I'll give it a try. I phoned the number, and sure enough, Mad Frankie Fraser answered.
Yeah.
And I was a bit taken back by it, you know. I was off.
Anyone would have been.
I'd heard his voice on the documentaries, and but to actually hear his voice, I was a bit concerned.
Hello.
I was kind of almost hoping it would be just a receptionist to say no, the tour's no longer available. But no, it was Frank. But once I'd relaxed and stuff, we had a cracking conversation. And
was he still doing it then, or did
he had stopped, but it was his landline. And we had a cracking chat, and he asked where I was from, and I said Rochester at the time.
Mm.
And he said oh, I'm really sorry, but we can't allow you up here, you won't be allowed. I said, what do you mean we won't be allowed? He said, no, Tony won't allow you up here. And I said, Tony who? Tony Blair? He said, no, Tony Adams. And we cracked up laughing.
Yeah.
And then it sort of started talking about Rochester, because Frank had actually spent time in Borstal in Rochester, mm-hmm. And he said, you know, I stayed in a lovely hotel down there once. I was like, oh, right.
Only for a little while.
Yeah, he said the only trouble is they wouldn't let me out at night.
No, that's it.
Yeah, and that was it, and that really kept the interest alive, really.
So now, you're I would call you pretty good friends now, I would say, really. You and Frankie Fraser, yeah?
Well, Frankie Fraser passed away, didn't he?
Yeah.
And sadly, I didn't get to meet him.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
He's
one I really wish I had got to meet. Sadly, I didn't.
Yeah.
But it certainly kept the interest alive at that point, and I just kept on buying every new documentary that came out, and then the books, and... So then... got involved with the Facebook groups. I managed to get to a couple of film premieres, and I'd been talking to Steve Rafe on the groups, but I managed to meet Steve
Rafe.
Because
that was quite an interesting film recently.
Yes.
With Steve Rafe, wasn't it?
Yeah. The I think
I knew was in it. Oh, hello. Oh, we've got a star in our list. Wow.
My first talking part, that was.
Now, Steve Rafe and yourselves, on the criminality side, he's done loads, hasn't he? So
he's not done any crime, can I just...
No, we know that.
He's done lots of lots of books.
I'm not saying... Yeah, no. Steve, behave yourself, right? No. But no, now what I'm trying to say is that the people that you've sort of, in a way, you've learnt off you...
Yeah, definitely.
...things... Now, with the book, you've taken an interest in places.
Yeah.
Which is what it's all about. We'll cover that in a minute. But, you know, like places like the Brown Bear. Yeah? That's,
yeah.
You know, and then sort of, people don't know about that. No. And certainly not in, really, in unless you're staunch crazed fans and visits and all that sort of stuff. You know, that's in there. Lord Boothby's, that gets mentioned, but not very often.
No, that's right.
Everyone thinks about, you know, the Blind Beggar and everywhere else.
There's so many places.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably another 50 to 100 more pages I could have
put in. You know, like Paliches and all those sort of places. Now, I mean, you've been there with Maureen Flanagan.
Paliches is one of my favourite.
You've been there a lot?
Yeah, I love it there.
I wouldn't mind going there one day.
Always a nice atmosphere there.
Yeah.
But be prepared to queue up.
Yeah, isn't that strange?
It's always busy.
Yeah.
But it is, it's an experience.
Out of all of your investigation things, I mean, you came across Valence Road. Now, Valence Road, where they lived, the Crays, is not there anymore.
No.
And it's probably housing something or whatever now. But just down the road is similar houses.
Yes. Yeah. There is still a row of houses where the twins lived, but it's much more modern. I think it was the 70s. It was rebuilt.
Oh, not the new housing campaign. Yeah.
But there is online, there's quite a common picture of Reg outside the home cleaning his car, and the camera's sort of facing Reg and the car and the block of flats opposite their home, and that block of flats still looks the same today.
Gosh,
so if you stand outside what is now 178 Valence Road and look across the road, that looks identical.
Mm. One of the other things you've got in the book is about the railway bridge.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting story, that one.
Yeah.
Because they were meant to be shot on there.
Yeah, well, some people say, you know, that was the twins' fault, but, you know, given the life they was living, I think there was so much paranoia, especially towards getting arrested.
Yeah, definitely.
But, yeah, who knows?
Exactly. When you was doing this book, because everyone always goes on about... the Crays, the Richardsons, was it, to your view, was it as bad as they said? I don't think it was.
In which way?
Well, it was south and east, yeah. And were the Richardsons as bad against the Crays, or...?
I don't believe there was any real war against each other.
No.
From what I've learned, I mean, you mustn't take away from the Twins. They were tough men. They were born and bred fighters, and they were game for a fight.
Yeah.
And sadly, you know, too violent. The Richardsons were more businesslike.
Yeah.
And capable the same. I mean, I met Eddie Richardson in his late 80s, I believe he was, and he still had an aura about him, even at that age.
I bet.
Mm. We've been to see Eddie Richardson live. Eddie's not everyone's cup of tea.
No.
We had a great evening, listened to his stories, and he told it's quite a well-known story that when he went to, I think it was Parkhurst, the Screws tried to put Craze and, you know, Eddie and Reg in together to try and stir up a bit of trouble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Reg had a bit of trouble with another con, and I believe Eddie actually stepped in and
sorted it,
sort of thing. But yeah, I don't believe there was any.
Because if you go historically with the South and the East divide, which is a river, I suppose, Dave, you know, we're going to talk about is Dave Courtney, South.
Yes.
Yeah. Some of the other people we know very well, Southeast, South, or that side.
Yeah.
So it couldn't have been like that bad as that, but historically we don't really know, do we?
No, without being there.
No.
I know for Ronnie Cray's funeral, Reg wanted someone from each part of London to carry the coffin.
Yep.
So you'd have the northeast, southwest.
Yeah.
So I guess it must have meant something to them back in the day. But London's a big place. It's, you know, huge population. And I don't believe that the same people say, oh, the Crays run London. I think that's a load of nonsense.
Well, yeah, and also they then tried to do Birmingham. They then tried to do Glasgow. Then wrong.
There was other tough people out there.
Yeah, but never going to be that.
But
easy.
They wasn't twins, and they wasn't dressed sharp as the Cray twins. And,
No. Exactly. I mean, in your book here, one of the. And I saw it. It's Grace's Alley. That's at Wilton Music Hall.
Yes.
History there.
That is a lovely, lovely venue still today.
And it's a film venue as well. So it's the oldest music hall in the country. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, it must be really nice going there.
It's lovely. And something I didn't really touch on in the book was that if you heard the story about the Cable Street riots with Jack Spott, the Wilton's Music Hall was actually used as a safe house back then for those riots. There's quite an interesting piece on the Wilton's website about
and
that.
And was that to do with the Nash Brothers and all that as well?
No, that was like the Jews and the fascists and...
Yeah,
the Mosley and all those. It's it's quite a big history about there.
And this is I just read this. They still do weddings, photo shoots, productions. You know, like, and you can just see it's old world, isn't it?
Yeah, it's.
And I love that.
It's a lovely venue.
But as I was, go on.
If anyone gets a chance to see a show there, it's really, really something special.
They actually put on like. Two-person plays.
Oh, mate.
They do a Shakespeare production just with two people. Or,
amazing.
Or something else, but it's just two people on stage, but it's fantastic.
So then, and then the Royal Oak was another one.
Yeah, that's a really nice location as well. It's used in lots of filming. Goodnight Sweetheart, for one.
Yep.
That's a nice... But don't go there in the week because it's a very busy flower market.
Yeah, so it says on here, doesn't it? Yeah, Columbian Road, flower market, yeah.
Yeah, but it is a lovely
place. It's an old cobble street as well, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
George Ezra Street. Yeah.
it's a great place for a photo as well.
It says here that the was used in the Kemp Brothers one, yeah, in the Maltese Shootout. Yeah,
yes.
And then more recently used as the Blind Beggar in Legend.
Yes, it was, yeah.
Mm. Oh, really? I didn't know that. Yeah. And aside from the Crazed Thieves, location to be used for Guy Ritchie's Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels and television series Goodnight Sweetheart. Wow, there we are. See, this is what I like about your book, because you've been to these places, you've done a historical on them.
Yes.
No matter how it's...
I've walked the pavement to all these places.
This is what, yeah, and Donna, has, you've gone with him. You've been very, very happy.
On many of them, yeah.
Yeah, on a fair few, not all of them.
I'm very lucky to have found someone who's got the same interest.
Yeah. just, you know, the Blind Beggar, the stories. So, I never knew this, but built in 1894. It's still trading today. Now, one of the interesting things with that is on the filming side, why didn't they use the Blind Beggar? Do you know?
It's where someone was shot dead. Well, he wasn't shot dead, he was still alive, but it's where someone was shot. So I think out of respect to the Cornell family, that would be my view.
Because there is a little bit of a thing on the wall there, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, it's got all the signs there, but I think there's got to be... Like all these things, you've got to have respect for the victims.
Absolutely. Now, that is very true. Very true indeed. I totally agree. Oh, I met you two there a few weeks ago.
Yes. Yeah, we've had many events there.
Yeah. Overlooking the Buddha in the garden.
Yeah. That was just me.
Oh, yeah. No, I was next door. Yeah. I'm your second Buddha. And there's a big one in the middle.
Also, with film locations, you've got... So I get a licence for every street and every building. So if you can get those locations in a close proximity, it makes it cheaper
for the film company, doesn't
less
it?
Less financial outgoings.
Mm. That's right. Exactly. Yeah. And the now on the this bit, 1966. I was only four then. Four. You was a secondary school in the 90s. What's that all about? Wasn't it? Poor old sod here. Anyway, look, this. So he was drinking heavily in the Lion, which was 8 Tap Street, Bethnal Green, and he received a message that the Richardson gang members, George Cornell, was drinking at the nearby Blind Beggar. This is where it all went off that night, wasn't it, really?
Yes. I think I don't want to give too much away about the content of the book, because obviously read it. But there is obviously
a little bit
in retaliation to what had happened the previous night at Mr. Smith's, which is in the book.
Yep, that's fine. So basically, let's just go through this. So you've got the Brown Bear. That's another good story.
Yeah,
fantastic. That one. And where was the other one? So Evering Road, loads in Evering Road.
Yes, yeah.
I won't go into the detail on that one, but that's very interesting. Kentucky Club, didn't know about that.
Yeah, that's another great story, and that also featured in the Barbara Windsor's Sparrows Can't Sing film as well, which is quite interesting. And one of the twins' associates... Pat Connolly he's got a cameo in that film as well. I see him I think he's asleep on the sofa in the film.
That's cool. So right, what I'm going to do is play a record and give Dave a bit of a thing, and we're going to make a cup of tea. So this is because I'm dual skilling today, you see. So anyway, this one is the Doobie Brothers, and this is, it's called A Long Train Running. And this has been 15 years in the making. Those were The Craze, 90 years in places. David Last, back in a moment.
Down around the corner, half a mile from here, see them all be run and watch them disappear. That was, where would you be now?
Nigel, what's occurring?
Phoenix FM.
Nigel, the Soul Father, with the best 70s and 80s soul and funk on the radio.
The town boys.
Right, okay. Dave's got a cup of tea. I don't know what it's like. Probably awful. I've got a coffee, so we're happy. And we're talking about those World of Craze, 90 years in places, and very interesting indeed. Now, I did mention this to David earlier on, but this must have taken you, and I know we sort of mentioned it, a long time. The research you've done is amazing.
Yeah.
And all the pictorials and everything else. Now, you've been collecting memorabilia all over the place. Donna says it's huge now.
Yeah, it did get a bit out of control at one point.
Definitely.
Extension on the house or something like that?
We need one.
Right, okay. So what sort of things have you got on your memorabilia?
I have got letters from, not to myself, but to other people, from Ron, from Reg, from Charlie. More interestingly, I've got letters to Ron from Reg. I've got letters to Reg from Charlie. I've got letters to Reg from Charlie Bronson. Got letters to the parents from Ron and Reg. So when people say to me, I know there was a comment on social media earlier that I wasn't around when, I wasn't born when the Craze were around. I wasn't, you're right, but I've got so much information on them.
Yeah.
To validate a lot of
But that's what historians do.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to cover that one that we saw earlier on, or do you want to leave that for now?
No, I'm happy to cover that. You don't have to be...